Have you ever given serious thought to the value of an idea? Do you ever think of an idea as an intellectual property that can be worth an absolute fortune? When you are comfortably seated in your automobile, rolling down the road with the cruise and climate control turned on, your tilt telescopic steering wheel comfortably placed in your hands, enjoying the sound of the most recent CD being amplified through your 8-speaker sound system, do you ever think all of this, every bit of it, was nothing but an idea a short while ago? When you see a jet aircraft zipping silently through the sky, do you ever say to yourself, great idea? And do you stop periodically when you're shaving in front of your mirror or applying your makeup and look right into your eyes and give thanks for the unique gift of creativity that you have been blessed with? If you're like most people, you probably don't. Research indicates that the great majority of people rarely, if ever, think of themselves as being creative. Creative, or creativity, in the mind of most people, is a special term that has been allocated to describe writers, musicians, artists, or actors. 95% of the population do not think of themselves as being creative. Everyone is creative. It is your creative faculties which gives you power. It is your creative ability to create that provides you with the potential to turn your entire life into one magnificent experience after another. The obvious question you should be asking yourself at this point is, if everyone has this creative ability, why don't they use it? Well, listen closely, because I have the answer to that question. This message will explain what happened. Why 95% of the population never use their creative ability. However, the real focus of this message will be directed toward how to use and strengthen these wonderful mental power tools you are given. When you do as this message suggests, you will do your best work, provide your greatest service, and you will be openly rewarded for your efforts. You're the best. You are. You're a star. Compared to any other form of life, you are the greatest and the brightest by far. Star, you've always been a star. This message is designed to assist in taking you back to the star status you enjoyed as a child. When you were a little child, you were like all children. Your energy illuminated every room you entered. You had a very active creative faculty. Many times every day, you would fire your creative engine into high gear and you would shine. This would automatically turn the outside world off, and your senses would shut down. You would quit seeing with your physical eyes or hearing with your physical ears, etc. You would, at will and without effort, leave this material world by activating one of your higher mental faculties, your imagination. You would go within to a magnificent place. Your inner eye would see absolute beauty with a clarity your physical senses could never match. It was there that you would build castles and take fascinating journeys to wonderful places. It was there that you could do whatever you wanted. You spent many hours every day in a magnificent spiritual playground where lack and limitation did not exist. All things were possible. All you had to do was ask, and you would receive. And every order you submitted to your imaginary power was filled. Yours was truly an abundant life. Your parents and guardians loved you and cared for you, and they were very likely pleased when you quietly left to go off to one of your many creative mental excursions. And why wouldn't they be pleased? You would be quiet and generally stayed in one place. That represented free time for them. They would get a rest from looking after you. They did not know or have an awareness of the type of creative mental activity you were engaged in. As far as they were concerned, you were merely being quiet, and that was very acceptable to them. In many homes, that type of behavior by little boys and girls is frequently referred to as being good. Had the person who was caring for you been aware of what you were doing, they would have encouraged more of this behavior. They might have even used this quiet time to mentally move out and work at polishing their own dreams. Unfortunately, that rarely happens. Most parents or guardians do not understand what their children are in truth doing. They don't understand because their parents did not understand. The ignorance has been passed on from one generation to the next. Unfortunately, this has been happening for hundreds, even thousands of years. The Christian Bible records how this ignorance is passed along from generation to generation. The book of Numbers says, "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon their children's children to the third and fourth generation." Then we see it again in the book of Jeremiah. "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." If this has been happening in your family, do as I did and stop it. Now, let's go back to my scenario. Time marches on. You were growing, becoming a bigger person. And at the precise time, they were wanting your conscious attention to give you certain instructions regarding something they wanted you to do. You would be off in your imaginary world doing great work and at the same time strengthening your creative mental muscles. However, your visit to this beautiful place of freedom generally came to an abrupt halt. Your parents knew how to bring you back to their material world in a hurry. They had been taught by their parents. A loud noise, that would get your attention. It always worked. By making a loud noise or speaking loudly, you were mentally jerked into a lower vibration, jerked back into their world. And every time this happened, you were told with authority that big people don't live that way. That is not reality. It is only little babies who go off to these imaginary places. On occasion, you paid no attention to their first remarks, and you began to tell them about the beautiful things you just saw with your inner eye and the exciting activities that you were just engaged in. You may still remember what happened. The expression on their face when you shared your creative experience said enough. They did not have to respond, but they did. In no uncertain terms, you were told the place that you had just visited was an illusion. It was not real. Your attention was constantly being drawn to the physical, exterior world. You were told that's real. And you were made to feel like a little baby who was being foolish whenever you went inside to the beautiful spiritual playground. Through repetition, the authority figures convinced you they were right. You were acting foolish, behaving like a baby. Their ignorance of human potential and of the creative process was being passed on. The repetition of their voices, broadcasting their opinions, were being impressed like recorded cassette tapes in your mind. Those recordings would soon take control of your mind and ultimately your life. Now, although those opinions were impressed upon your mind years ago, every time your heart's desire takes you to that wonderful place within where all creation begins, the switch is hit and the mind tapes, which were recorded years ago, begin to play. That message from years ago still has the same effect. It causes you to feel foolish, to feel like you're acting like a little baby. You do not enjoy the feeling, but you're hooked, After all, you're a big person, an adult. Those mental trips were something you did as a little child. It is pretty ridiculous to visualize being a millionaire when you are presently deep in debt, or to mentally see yourself living in a healthy body when the doctor has told you how serious the disease is. It is pretty silly to see yourself in a loving relationship when you're alone and lonely. It's even more ridiculous to see yourself as the chief executive officer of your own successful company when you are presently holding a menial position in someone else's company. So you return to your logical, physical, material, limited world, and you reject your own dream. After all, if you can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it, how could it be real? Well, from this point on, we're going to discuss how it could be real, how it is real. Call it whatever you choose. Creativity, creative reality, dream reality. All of the great achievers knew the unseen, non-physical world was real. They were acutely aware that the non-physical realm was where all creation begins. This message on creativity from the Winner's Choice series deals with a different reality. The reality that says, I'm not interested in the material world I am surrounded by anywhere near as much as I am interested in the reality that enables me to improve my material world. I am referring to the reality that sees beyond the material limitations. The reality that enables the creator of the fax and the phone to keep working toward their goal in the face of the naysayers. I'm referring to the reality that enabled Henry Ford to see a V8 engine when the engineers on his own payroll said it could not be built. Or the reality that gave Thomas Edison the internal fortitude to keep on in the face of hundreds, even thousands of failed attempts to give you and me the incandescent light. This message on creativity takes you back to that imaginary world. The 5% know the imagination is where all accomplishment begins. Successful people go there regularly. If you seem to be stuck, not able to move forward, this creativity lesson from the Winner's Choice series will get you going. You must recognize those tapes which are in your mind, and you must get rid of them. Permit right reason to take over every time you hear those voices or experience the feeling of being childish or foolish. Know that every creative, successful person who has ever lived kept developing that childlike part of their personality. The 5% group made the winner's choice. They go off to that imaginary wonder world every day, many times every day. They may be on a crowded bus or airplane, and off they go. They could be having dinner with their family or friends when they leave their body and take a quick mental trip. They know what they can see with their imaginary eye they can eventually hold in their physical hand. They can have anything they want. The freedom is fantastic. Prior to understanding the creative process, many of these same people lived a very limited life. Their goals, if in fact they had any, were always based on previous experience and present physical resources. That was what an old tape made them do. But now it's gone. Now they choose what they want, knowing all they must do is hold the image of what they want and employ the actor's technique. And they will attract the required resources and gain whatever experience they may require as they move closer and closer each day to what they want. In their mind, they already have it. James Allen, the Victorian author, wrote something around the turn of the century which the creative person understands. Allen said, "Your circumstances may be uncongenial, but they will not long remain so if you perceive an ideal and strive to reach it." This would probably be an appropriate place to share an important story about people who get off to a poor start or a bad start in life. There are literally thousands of men and women who are living dull, meaningless lives because they were not good students in school. They got poor grades, and their report cards indicated they were miserable failures. Unfortunately, they permitted those poor grades to register as part of their self-image, and they still see themselves as failures years later. The beautiful truth about their creative potential has never been revealed to them. These people never attempt to get a good job or an interesting position in a dynamic organization. They never attempt to start their own company, then build it into something of real value because of this failure image they hold. If you can relate to what I am saying, listen up, because I recently read a story of a man who was a poor student. You are probably familiar with this man's name. In fact, his name might be welded on the hood of your automobile. He got poor grades in school, but he never let it upset him because he said his universe revolved elsewhere, around engines and motors and bicycles. He was not only a poor student, he was a frail boy who did not do well in sports and suffered miserably from humiliation. This inferiority complex he developed was reversed and turned into a fierce desire to succeed, and succeed he did. Fame, fortune, and world recognition are his today. Here are five personal principles for success this man uses. 1. Always be ambitious and youthful. 2. Respect sound theories, find new ideas, and devote time to improving production. That's creativity. 3. Take pleasure in your work and try to make working conditions as pleasant as possible. 4. Constantly look for a smooth, harmonious working rhythm. 5. Always keep in mind the value of research and hard work. By the way, every time a Honda passes you, let it remind you of this story because that was his name. Most of the successful people I know are like Mr. Honda. They got off to a poor start. I got off to a terrible start. If you did as well and you have permitted it to hold you back, make this the moment to change. And in doing so, remember something William James said about changing your life. He said, when you decide to change your life, there are 3 rules to remember. 1, do it immediately. 2, do it flamboyantly. And 3, no exceptions. And another thing he said was, the best way to get ready is to get going. As you proceed, you should keep in mind that creative thinking resists perfect definition and rigid rules of conduct. There are no special hours, and there is no particular place where or when creativity should be turned on. Creative thinking is much like music or painting or any other art form. Becoming accomplished at any art takes practice and more practice. And you can start practicing it right now. Commit to this type of thinking for the rest of your life, and you will turn your creative faculties into your greatest asset. This continued practice will help you become a master at it, and you'll earn a master's reward. You could say creative thinking is merely thinking in ways which are different or a departure from your conditioned way of thinking. Actually, creative thinking is a misnomer. More often than not, a person's creative results come from imagineering, an activity of the imagination, where thinking is an activity of the reasoning factor. Both are intellectual factors of your personality assigned to different tasks. One is logic, the other is creative. It is the imagination we are most interested in for this particular lesson on creativity. You have what Napoleon Hill referred to as a creative imagination and a synthetic imagination. The creative imagination creates from raw, pure, unadulterated energy, something which did not exist before. A good example is the electric light bulb. The synthetic imagination begins with the creation we already have and alters it for improved results. The fluorescent light bulb would be a good example of this. The synthetic imagination produces results every bit as good as creative imagination. One is no more effective than the other. Now, we are going to begin with the synthetic imagination. Years ago, I learned a technique for turning the synthetic creative mental dial that will flip your mind from one frequency of thought to another. This technique involves 7 words. Each word suggests a new way of looking at an old idea. Here they are. 1, combination. 2, association. 3, adaptation. 4, magnification. 5, minification. 6, rearrangement. 7, substitution. Now, before I begin to suggest how to employ these words, let's use our creative tools to originate a way for you to remember each of these words without difficulty. Then you'll be able to recall them at will whenever you want to use them. The first word was combination. It begins with a C. Then we had association and adaptation, both of which begin with an A. Magnification and minification, where next, both begins with an M. The last two words, number 6 and 7, were rearrangement and substitution, which begin with an R and an S. Just dealing with the first letter of each word, we have a C, an R, an S, two A's, and two M's. Just remember this line, creativity is really simple. There are just two A's and two M's. Repeat that a couple of times. Creativity is really simple. There are just two A's and two M's. Repeating that over and over again will cause it to become fixed in your mind. Then you will remember C, R, S, two A's and two M's represent combination, rearrangement, substitution, association, adaptation, magnification, and minification. Now we come to the point of how to use them. Remember, this is a technique used to employ or activate your synthetic imagination. The objective here is to improve something. It could go from improving the quality of your life, a broad generalization, to changing the tire on your automobile. You begin the exercise by wanting to reach a goal, make a decision, or solve a problem. Register a clear picture on the screen of your mind of what is. Make certain you are relaxed. Then pull up those 7 words, and away we go. C, R, S, two A's, and two M's. Combination. You could add to what is, creating a combination to improve results. Think of some of the combinations you presently use. Shoes. We have added laces, spikes, high heels. Telephones have been combined with recorded answering machines, fax machines, and modems. When you think of an automobile, the combinations are endless. Cruise control, climate control, radio, telephone, etc., etc., etc. A pencil is nothing but a combination of carbon, paint, wood, and rubber. R is for rearrangement. This word is a wonderful creative stimulant. There's a magnificent story from the southern United States on rearrangement. Apparently, a couple of engineers were standing in the lobby of an old hotel discussing renovations. They were trying to decide where the best place would be to install the elevator, which was part of the upgrading. Where could they put it, doing the least amount of damage to the rooms it would be passing through? A janitor standing nearby suggested they put the elevator on the outside of the building. That way they wouldn't damage any rooms or lose any of the valuable space. Today you see elevators on the outside of buildings everywhere you go all over the world. I wonder if that janitor ever thought of himself as a creative genius. The S was for substitution. This has turned into one of the greatest creative stimulants over the past 50 years. Vinyl for leather, plastic for metal or wood, fiberglass cars, the transistor for the vacuum tube, the quartz for all those moving parts in a watch. Substitution could play an enormous role in improving whatever you are presently working on. Let your marvelous mind wander. You are a star. Move on and out into a different space and see everything differently. Now, let's keep going. The A is association. You are already employing this beauty. We are using this word, association, to remember these creative stimulants. Association is an extremely creative way to remember a series of ideas, things, or events. The next A is adaptation. This is a stimulant you must use. It's so effective. The seatbelt was made for air travel. It was adapted for the safety of passengers in automobiles, and it is so effective that the use of safety belts in automobiles has been made mandatory in many places around the world. The television, which was built for entertainment, has been adapted for education. Space weapons like satellites are now used for friendly communications. As you are listening to this lesson on creativity, you should realize that the individuals who thought of adapting one thing for us in another way were individuals like you. With this imagination, they saw something and acted on the idea. They earned a fortune and had a great time doing it. Now we come to the two M's. The first one is magnification. Aristotle Onassis saw with his imagination super tankers carrying millions of barrels of oil. Someone else saw the jumbo jet carrying hundreds of passengers. And some sharp soap salesperson saw the giant economy box of soap. There are people who call this the age of the skyscraper and the gas guzzler, and that may be true. However, the tall buildings and the big cars are certainly evidence of what our mind can create. Keep an open mind on the subject. Would bigger be better for you? I know in my business, large seminars create an energy, a synergism that everyone benefits from. This leaves us with minification. We have the pocket telephone and the portable fax, notebook computers, the miniature dictating recorder, and the compact disc. In many cities, if we go to a location where there used to be a large movie theater, you might find that the building has been rearranged and the large theater has been substituted with mini theaters. You can use a combination of these mental stimulants in association with each other. This type of mental activity will help you to adapt to the changes taking place in our world. Improve the quality of your product or service, which would enable you to improve the quality of your life, while you are improving your service to others and exercising your creative mental faculties. Isn't that creative? Wow! Now, that's also the law of cause and effect at work. The bottom line on the synthetic imagination is this. It takes something that already exists and improves it. The creative imagination, on the other hand, makes something out of no thing. It is the creative imagination that all of the great business leaders, writers, musicians, and artists use to become great and do great work. Great is a wonderful word. People must become aware of their greatness before they do great work. And they do great work by doing little things in a great way every day. To help you tune in for the rest of this important lesson, let's go back to the music. I want you to clearly understand this song has been written for you. Begin to tell yourself you are a star. Come on. Repeat it over a few times. Say it. I'm a star. I'm the brightest by far. Come on. I'm a star. Keep going. You are a star. You really are. You're the brightest by far. Isn't that great? You know, after years of studying the cause and effect relationship of great people and great work, I've come to a number of definite conclusions. Individuals who permit this greatness to express itself through them first become aware of an inner urging or desire to make something better. They want to make a better world. This desire heightens and becomes stronger as the awareness of its presence grows. Stay with me for a moment and follow this train of thought, because it is not something that I became aware of overnight. This is the result of years of diligent study and a lot of work. If you will grasp what I am communicating, you can save yourself years of study and you can take a quantum leap immediately. This urging or desire to make everything better comes from spirit. Spirit is always for expansion and fuller expression. The nucleus of your being is spirit. When your mind is in an extremely high vibration, your creative imagination kicks into action. Your creative imagination is the part of you that connects you with pure spirit. Some circles refer to this as infinite intelligence. I say it's spirit. Spirit is all-knowing. All things are possible with spirit. Your mind moves into high vibration through strong desire. The more you feed your desire with the food of thought, the stronger the desire becomes. It is when you are in this high vibration with the creative imagination purring that the all-knowing source presents you with a vision of something bigger, better, more beautiful, more effective than the world has ever known. You are God's greatest creation. You are a star, the instrument through which God's greatest work is done. You and I refer to this as creation. Think about it. Use a little logic. Creation is an expression of the Creator in exactly the same manner that a design is an expression of the designer. The individual who the greatness flows through is perfectly aware of what their role is in the whole scheme of things. They know it is spirit doing the work, not them. Their ego is in the right slot. It is their heightened awareness that enables them to become such magnificent instruments. The effective individual is creative. They are so busy, so much in love, so in tune with the positive, the creative side of life, that they rarely ever even see or hear the negative side. Oh, they're aware of its presence, but they're not in tune with it. They are too busy and too wise to argue with it. The unaware individual is often puzzled why some people who are very intelligent are not very effective, why they fail to produce results. Listen carefully, because this is very important. All creative people are productive, and all creative people are intelligent. However, all intelligent people are not creative, and all intelligent people are not productive. Creativity must get priority if a person truly wants to improve the quality of their life. Begin by recognizing the wonders of your body. Think of the many things that are happening in your body which most people simply take for granted. Think of the wonders of your brain and your central nervous system. Think of how your heart, lungs, and kidneys just keep working day after day. Now begin to realize and listen to that quiet voice within. It speaks in the form of feelings. Listen to it. Be aware that you have a marvelous mind with the ability to switch off doubt and fear and turn on wants and desires. Feed your desire. See yourself with the good you desire. Enjoy its presence. Last night I was speaking with Mark Lowe, a young man who is joining our company. He's a very talented person, and I was telling him that he could enjoy a tremendous life in this business. I explained that he should look beyond our company and see the human resource industry, because that is where his future will be. With his mind, he could go as far as he chooses. Now, the only limit on his future will be determined by how he uses his creative abilities. Dream. Let your mind fly. Release doubt. Just let it go. Feed your desire and keep feeding it until you can feel a mental high. Let the beautiful pictures roll onto your mind. Record them. Make a written description of them. Create creative files. Act on your ideas and absolutely refuse to permit failures to stop you. Treat each and every failure as a stimulant to move back in to a creative vibration. No resentments, no regrets, just an attitude of gratitude. See each failure as a mistake that you don't have to make again. The mistakes generally take place when you permit your ego to get in the way of spirit being perfectly expressed through you. Be thankful that you are aware of what is happening. The ignorant person believes the mistakes or the failures are the result or the fault of someone or something else. They are stuck. Keep your mind focused on good. See greatness in everything and everyone. Know that greatness is spirit shining through. Keep feeding that urge or desire for better, better, better. Everything and your mind will move into a high vibration that it must be in for your creative imagination to connect. When it is connected, realize it is connected to the source, the only source there is. I love it. I absolutely love it. Listen to this tape 1,000 times over the next 30 days and sing along with the lyrics to this song each time because you are a star. Let spirit shine through and make you the brightest by far. Never doubt. Just feed the desire and the rest will automatically happen because you are a star. Commit to playing this power principle on creativity every day for the next month, at which time we will introduce you to the fifth of my 12 power principles. We have deliberately recorded this power principle for you. You're